When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Here's Aaron Boone to lead off. His first at-bat of the game. There's a fly ball deep to left. It's on its way. There it goes. And the Yankees are going to the World Series.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Everyone is clap. Producers jab. They want to be down with the crowd.
What is this, Pete? This is your choice here. What is? I have no
idea. It's not my choice. No, we do this every day at 12. It's called The Crown.
The Crown. Okay.
Well, the song's The King, but yeah, this is the.
And is there a reason for that? Is this just become a staple of the midday show?
It's a staple. We
at the halfway point of the show.
We appoint the crown moment of the day.
Oh, okay. Is that coming later or what?
No, we just kind of.
Okay.
You can do it now if you want to.
Well, I don't know if there's been any crown moments. What's the crown moment of the day? I don't know. See you, Dolph.
You being here is a crown moment for us.
Is that right? I don't know about that. Anyway, interesting. Very interesting. All right, our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody, and nobody on top of that beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. All right, Beningo, filling in for BT and Sal Licata, 888-808-1019. We're here till 2 o'clock. We're at the halfway point, just beyond it. And then Lou Gower and McMonagle filling in for Tiki and Evan. All right, back to the phones. Ed in Mohegan is on The Fan. Hi, Ed. Hello, Ed.
Joe, how you doing?
What do you
say, Joe?
What's up?
Listen, well, I'm trying to be the crown moment of the day. You know what I'm talking about?
I understand.
I was going to talk about Cashman, but I'm gonna call an audible and talk about Pete Rose because I did see the special. So I didn't see all of it.
Right.
A couple of episodes.
Right, four episodes.
But he knows, correct. He's not going, and I loved it, but he's not going, he knows he's going to go in after he dies. But consider this. If they put him in after he dies, it's going to be the biggest farce as far as Hall of Fame inductions go. You know, it's going to be phony. I mean, who's going to talk? It's going to be ridiculous. But
right.
On the other hand, if somebody has the stones to put him in when he's still alive, it could be the greatest induction of all. And that's what gets to me, because you got guys like Shohei who skated because he's still playing and he's one of the best players in the game. They let Ty Cobb skate along with Christy Mathews because they just had the 19 debacle with the White Sox.
Right, 1919.
So, you know, they have, correct. And it was 6 years later, so they didn't want another scandal. What's that?
No, I just said Joe Jackson, who should be in the Hall of Fame, too. I mean, you know, the Black Sox stuff.
Oh, a lot of them should.
Right.
Joe Jackson should be in, Eddie Seacott should be
right,
in.
Right,
you know,
right.
A lot of them should be.
Yep, yep.
But especially Jackson. So what I'm saying is, why, what I don't understand why this, it's, and the, look, it's the generation. Everybody's soft. Nobody wants to take accountability. You know, like, I wonder how Tory feels about it. I don't know if he has any say in it, but a guy like that, a guy like Joe Torre, I think would try and push it through. I don't know how Joe Torre
feels
about it.
He was a contemporary. I mean, he played during when Rose played. So, you know, maybe, you know, because
right.
He was a contemporary of Rose's, Torre.
But, I mean, can you really see this induction? Because they will put him in after he dies.
Yeah, no, I think you're right.
It's going to come off very, very, very phony.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. I think that's exactly what they're going to do.
Yeah.
They're going to put him in after he dies. And as Pete pointed out, Pete Hoffman, the hypocrisy, you go to the Hall of Fame, he's not in the big hall and, you know, with the plaque and all, but they got all his stuff. They got the bat from the 4,194th hit. They got all his stuff there. So how do you have that?
Absolutely.
And then he's not in the Hall of Fame. Come on. Right?
Well, that's the thing, and you said it earlier. I mean, the steroid guys should all be in.
Of course.
I mean, Bud Selig's in, so they should be in.
Yeah.
I mean, look, if you want to put on the plaque that were part of the steroid era,
right.
Put it there.
Right.
I mean, it should be there.
Yep.
But
yep.
They should still be there. It's part of history.
No question.
You have to do it. And
yep.
You're doing baseball a disservice because kids should know. They should absolutely know. And this thing with Shohei Ohtani aggravates me.
Yeah, with the gambling. You're talking about the gambling now with his interpreter and all of that, right?
They swept that under the rug quick. That went away quick.
Very quick. Very quick. And I heard somebody talking about it. I forget who it was, and I appreciate the call. About, you know, well, the federal government found that there was no wrongdoing by Ohtani, you know. But, like, I have a lot of confidence in the federal government. I mean, okay, so, you know, let's not kid ourselves. To me, it's an absolute disgrace And I'm telling you, if Ohtani wasn't on the Dodgers, because the Dodgers get special treatment, I'm sorry. You go back to that whole thing, what was his name, Frank McCourt, who was the owner, and he's having the problems with his wife and a whole divorce thing, and they wound up basically coming out like smelling roses with the new ownership in there. You know, while with the Mets, right, the Wilpons get hosed in the Bernie Madoff thing, and what did we get? We got Sandy Alderson. That's basically what they gave us, okay? You look at this stuff with Cohen. How is it possible that the Dodgers could have this contract with Ohtani where they backload all this money and they avoid paying this luxury tax, whereas Cohen is on the hook for it? Come on. Please, I can't stop. Let me tell you something. There is no team in sports, none. Not the Patriots, not the Dolphins, not the Braves, not the Yankees. None of these. I could go on and on with all the teams I can't stand. The Tampa Bay Lightning, I mean, you know, the Miami Heat, the Celtics, you know, all the Lakers, I can't stand them either. There is no team in sports that I dislike more than the Dodgers. I can't stand them. Ugh. And they get away with murder in L.A. They really do. They really do. Oh, my God. And like you said, they swept this thing with Ohtani under the rug. They threw the interpreter under the bus. That's exactly what happened here. Maybe Ohtani made a deal with this guy. Look, you take the rap. When you come out, I'll take care of you. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how long he's going to jail. I don't know what the deal is with all that. But very, very, very shady. 888-808-1019. Doug in Stratford, Connecticut is on the Fan. Doug, how are you?
Joe, how you doing? You're the best, buddy.
Thank you, Doug.
A couple things. I hate to pile on the Pete Alonso thing. I know you're a big fan. I think you're thinking with your heart instead of your head.
I just want to say this. It's not so much that I'm a big fan of Pete, but I'm tired of watching my homegrown guys just get thrown aside. You know what I mean? That bothers me.
No, I agree, but you don't want to let it jade what is the best for the team. Now, I'll tell you the reasons why I'm kind of sour. I used to love Pete. He gave back when the home run derby, all that.
Mm-hmm.
But I go through a few things, and you could discuss them with me. Is I soured on him because the All-Star thing. He seemed like a me guy. He kind of bullied his way into the All-Star game and pushed one of the Mets out because. Mm-hmm. He wasn't going to be in the All-Star game.
Was that really his call, though? Was that really his call?
No, well, he said, I'm not going to be in the All-Star game or in the
home run derby
unless I'm in the All-Star game, which in turn knocked Lindor out because he should have been there.
Lindor and Nimmo were another guy who could have been there as well.
Definitely. Now, on to my next point is his numbers in running and scoring position.
Terrible this year. Under 200.
But he's in a walk here. It's just showing that he doesn't have the clutch DNA inside him. To add on to it, you know, it's he's moving backwards. He's not progressing as a hitter. They're killing him on that outside pitch.
Yep.
The off-speed stuff, he's not getting any better. I think he's peaked. He's just and then you think about his speed, and with him there, they're just not winning. So, truthfully,
I mean, you said it. They won 101 games 2 years ago with him. I mean, I don't understand what you mean they're not winning.
Yeah, but they're not. They didn't go any further. They went when they got
there.
Yeah, but
is that his fault? Is that all his fault? Come on.
No, it's not all his fault. But he's part of the team. And if you want that big contract, you got to put your team on the back. And when clutch time comes,
go ahead. Finish up. Go ahead.
When clutch time comes, you got to be that Keith Hernandez. You got to be that Daryl Strawberry. You got to be that guy that comes through. And he just doesn't have it. I don't think he ever has. He's at the peak. I think he's better off for him and the Mets to move on. Use that money. Give me 10 B-plus athletic ball players instead of three.
You don't want Soto? You don't want Soto?
I love Soto. But if it's going to curtail our spending on other ball players, I'll take Soto. And I'll take Alonso also. But you know there's only so much to go around. And eventually the money's going to dry up. I just want a winning team. And I would rather have 10 or 11 really strong ball players because just think about it. You put all your eggs in the basket of Alonso and Soto, one of them or two of them go down in a season. Now what do you got?
Well, you know what, though? But wait a minute. But hold on. Hold on a minute.
Okay.
We got, look at, It's not just, it wouldn't be just, first of all, Soto's 25 years old. I don't ever remember him getting hurt. The guy's tremendous. Like I said, he's one of the three best players in baseball with Judge and Ohtani. Okay? I mean, that's how I look at him. Right? Plays all the time. Tremendous player. He's got 10 years ahead of him of being a Hall of Fame player. He's ready to win a championship with the Nationals, the whole deal. All right? So, I mean, how would you not want Soto? And we still got a pretty good team. I mean, Lindor's not going anywhere. Nimmo's not going anywhere. Where's he going? Alvarez is just a young kid. Vientos is just a young kid. You know, they're going to be here. Right? I mean, come on. So, I don't get this idea that you want to just, Soto, we want 10 guys. Well, you know, supposedly these guys in the minor leagues, we'll see. Jet Williams, Gilbert, Mauricio, what's his name? Acuna's brother. I mean, you got all these guys down there. I don't know. Maybe these guys are going to be good. I don't know. So it's not like, well, you know, I want to. We got a pretty decent team right now. I mean, isn't that? Are they a championship? Are they a World Series team? No, probably. I don't think they are. All right? We'll see if they're a playoff team. But this is not a bad team. And you put Soto in the middle of the lineup and keep Pete there, and you're telling me that this is not a much better team than they are now? Come on. I mean, really. 888-808-1019. I am shocked at the negativity for Alonso. Pete, are you surprised by this? I mean, I got to tell you, I'm very surprised by it.
It's starting to get overwhelming that, like, people that anti-Pete Alonso.
And ridiculous. You know what's going to happen if they let him walk, and let's say he goes, I'm going to say the Astros, okay? Can't you see him going to Houston and hitting like 50 home runs there?
Dude, in Texas even, the Rangers, they could use a first baseman like that.
How about the Yankees? What if he did go to the Yankees?
Well.
How'd you like to see him, you know, hitting the ball like crazy into the porch? Because he'll hit the ball. He'll hit it the opposite field. How'd you like to see that? How'd you feel about that if you're a Met fan?
And then it turns into a quote-unquote superstar, which he's not right now, according to some people. He turned into a superstar with the Yankees. Nah, I would not
want
that.
And this idea that he's like on the downside now, I don't know that. Look, is he having an off year? Yeah. He's having an off year. And he's still going to go 30-90 probably, 35-90 in an off year. So how do I know he's not going to bounce back and have a monster year next year? I don't know that. And I sure as hell don't want to see him have a monster year for somebody else, I can tell you that. 888-808-1019, Mo in Brooklyn. Mo, how are you? Hi, Mo.
Joe, is that you?
Mo, you back? Now, you were in Israel for a while, right?
Yeah, we're back. We're back for like 6 years.
Thank God you're not there now, bro. God bless.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, not exactly the safest place to be these days, that's for sure.
Yes. Joe, I just want to tell you before I get into the Jets, your shows with Jerry the past couple of days were amazing. I love Jerry, but you guys were great.
Thank you.
It was terrific.
I love working. I love Jerry. I love working with Jerry.
He's great. A couple of things on the Jets, and cut me off when you're done with me, but a couple of things I wanted your opinion on. Number one, I think if Rodgers plays all the games this year, the Jets should be really good this year. Considering that their record in the last 19 games with Zach Wilson, who's the worst quarterback I've seen since Christian Hackenberg played in the preseason, they was 9-10. If Rodgers plays all the games this year, if they could keep him upright, that's the key to the season.
No, there's no question. Rodgers has to. If Rodgers is healthy, they'll be a playoff team minimum. No doubt about it.
No,
I agree.
No question in mind.
Yeah. And so by the way, Christian Hackenberg, the worst quarterback that ever lived was Christian Hackenberg. And I just want to say one thing, though. Just think about it. We talk about all the brutal draft choices the Jets have had. Had there ever been a worse draft choice than Christian Hackenberg in the second round? Think about it.
Vernon Golston.
Yeah, but at least Vernon Golston played. At least he got on the field in an NFL game. I mean, right?
Right.
Right? True. I mean, as bad as he was. Anyway, go ahead. Continue.
Yeah, so a couple of positions I want your opinion on. Do you think that, and it's a two-part question, do you think that they are a wide receiver short? Like, I think of Lazard and Gibson, and even Mike Williams can't stay healthy. And some a lot of those guys, I don't know what the rookie is.
Micah Corley.
Three, four options.
Right.
Like, I think they are a wide receiver short.
Well, what if this kid Corley, what if Corley turns into be the guy, though? The kid they drafted in the third round.
He could be, but it sounds like there needs to be development there in his route running and stuff. Do you think Davante Adams will be a Jet this year before the trading deadline?
That's a good question. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know. I'll say no. That's what I'm going to say.
I'll say no.
Yes.
The other question I would have is, as an offense, do you want the offense to be an offense that runs through Breece Hall first and then be a passing offense off of that, or you want it to be a gunslinging Rodgers as the focal point of the offense?
I want a running. I want a go back to the days of Rex. I want ground and pound. I want Breece Hall and his kid Allen, who really looks like he's got something. The kid they drafted out of Wisconsin in the fourth round. I want to have the passing game play off the running game. That's what I want to see.
Completely agree. And the other question I have for you, and I haven't really been able to see what the guys at camp are saying, is what are they saying about the offensive tackle they drafted? How does he look?
Yeah. I think he still needs some work. Look, the starting tackles are going to be Tyron Smith and Moses, right?
But Tyron Smith, we know with Tyron Smith, this rookie's going to play.
Yeah, he's going to play, of course. Look, Mo, you know this. Take it to the bank. There's going to be injuries on the offensive line. I mean, right or wrong, you know there are. I mean, is Vera Tucker going to stay healthy all year, right? Tyron Smith. What's his name? Fasano, the kid they got from Penn State? He's going to play.
Fasano, yeah.
He's going to play.
Yeah,
no doubt.
Look, I really think they're going to be good this year, but they got to get Reddick in. They got to get Reddick in, and I really think it could be a really good year for the Jets. Joe, it's always a pleasure.
Mo, God bless. It's good to talk to you. We haven't talked in a long time. If Rodgers is healthy all year, they're going to be a good team. They're going to be a playoff team. And I want to win the division. The time is right. You know, look, I want to win the Super Bowl. But the time is right to win the AFC East. This is a down year in the division. Buffalo, we've talked about it endlessly. Yet they have Josh Allen, still the best player in the division. There's no doubt. Josh Allen is the best player in the division. You got to say that. But Buffalo's taking a hit. They lost Diggs. They lost guys on the defense. You know, The Patriots are, who knows, they're a total rebuild. They got a rookie quarterback. They got a rookie head coach. Who knows what they're going to be? And Miami, I'm sorry. I don't love Miami. Miami will be great early in the year, and then when Miami's got to play the crunch games later in the year, watch them fade. You know, so, Miami is not this great whirlwind team. I mean, Tua's okay. I know they had to give him the big contract. You had to pay him. You had to do it. And I know that there was a vote. Didn't the players vote that Tyreek Hill's the best player in football? How is that? And Patrick Mahomes was fourth behind Lamar Jackson? Come on. What, that, you got to be kidding me. That's got to be just fantasy, isn't it, Pete? Come on.
I mean, the only thing is if you see Tyreek Hill run and you see how Tua throws the ball, I mean, he does save his ass a lot.
Okay, Patrick Mahomes has won 3 Super Bowls. He's been to 4. He's already, let's be honest, he's already in the pantheon of the greatest quarterbacks that ever played the game. And he might be the best before he's done, okay? Come on. If Patrick Mahomes is not the best player in football, there's an investigation. And to say that Lamar Jackson is better? You know, Lamar, how about getting to a Super Bowl, Lamar? Can you do that? Maybe win a big playoff game every now and then? Come on. 888-808-1019. Beningo on a Thursday, filling in for the midday guys. We'll be back with more after this.
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Jersey Mike's, it's Jersey Mike's, Jersey Mike's, by the way, the Jersey Mike Philly chicken cheesesteak is one of the great sandwiches of all time. It's a Jersey Mike's Yankees box office blitz. We got a pair of field level tickets to see the Bronx Bombers play Texas at the stadium this Sunday, August 11th. Right now, be calling number 5 for the great Yankee Clipper, Joe DiMaggio, 866-540-WFAN. 866-540-9326 for your chance to win. It's all from Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees box office blitz. And the Fan, listen again tomorrow for another chance to win. All right, Beningo, filling in for BT and Sal. 888-808-1019. We're here till 2 o'clock. And then Loogie and McMonagle filling in for Tiki and Evan. Greg in Manasquan joins us on the Fan. Greg, how are you? Hi, Greg.
Joe, what's going on? Huge fan of you, man. Many, many years.
Thank you, Greg. Appreciate it.
Look, Joe. Oh, you're great. Look, Joe, unless I've got it wrong, I don't think I do. Everybody in this whole generation that doesn't know anything about what Rose did or just hears hyperbole, Joe, he signed himself out of baseball. Giamatti and MLB came to him and said, if you want to be eligible, then we're going to have to disclose what you did. He declined that. He declined that, Joe. He signed himself out. So he's not the victim, and MLB's the aggressor.
But I get what you're saying. But, I mean, at this point, first of all, if Giamatti didn't die, I think Rose would have been in already. I think that I do, because I think Giamatti had a soft spot for Rose. I do. That's me.
Look, I'm just going to say, look, in life, right, you've been around. How many things are on surface level are not what they really appear to be? Can you imagine how much stuff they've got on him and what he did?
But you know what?
And number two, go ahead.
No, but in this age when everybody, every major league everywhere is in bed with all the gambling services, okay? They're all sponsored by it. Every game now, they got the over-under, all of this, okay? Right?
Okay.
Right?
But you can imagine they have to have something on him that has to be damning.
Yeah, but what do they have? What, did he murder somebody? What do we have that we
don't know? Look, so
he didn't kill anybody.
I want to know. But wait, let me say one thing. I don't know you. You don't know me. I personally know somebody that played under him.
Okay? Right.
He had his players running the numbers for him. This isn't made up.
Mm-hmm.
I know. Joe, he was bad.
Okay, but he was bad. He's also one of the great players that ever lived. Is he not?
Okay, and Shoeless Joe Jackson's not in. And
he should be. Well, Joe Jackson should be in, too. And all the steroid guys should be in, too.
Well,
every one of them.
Well, look, that's a matter of an opinion. But I'm just saying, Pete Rose is not the victim. And even Johnny Bench came out and said he shouldn't be in. He broke the rules. The great Johnny Bench.
But Mike Schmidt, okay, who is on a level of the same level Johnny Bench is on, has come out and basically said, you know, he's all for Pete getting in the Hall of Fame. Mike Schmidt. All right, John, you know, I understand what you're saying. And Johnny Bench, all time, he is the greatest catcher I ever saw in my lifetime anyway, okay? But Mike Schmidt's come out and said Rose should be in. And Mike Schmidt and Johnny Bench, to me, are on the same plane, okay? Schmidt, probably the greatest third baseman of my lifetime. Bench, probably the greatest catcher of my lifetime. So it's all a matter of opinion. And if you watch the documentary, they have kind of like a roast of Rose, where they have George Foster and Griffey Sr., who, of course, were teammates of him on the Big Red Machine, and then Marty Brenneman, who was the play-by-play guy all those years with Cincinnati. You know, so those guys are definitely pro-Rose. There's no doubt about it. Rose should be in. I'm sorry. This guy, he bet on baseball. He bet on his own team. He wasn't betting against his team. You know, I mean, if it's true, Joe Jackson was taking money to throw games. Pete Rose wasn't taking money to throw games. He was betting on baseball, and he was betting on his own team. But when he played, I mean, was there a guy that played harder than this guy? Was there a guy that was a bigger winner than him? The guy won three World Series and six World Series appearances. I mean, seriously, the guy was an all-star all over the place. He played first base, second base, third base, left field, right field. I mean, come on. He's got more hits than anybody that ever lived. I mean, I'm sorry. The Hall of Fame, it's not a Hall of Fame for, you know, people that are great humanitarians. That's not what we're talking about here. It's a Hall of Fame for people who were great baseball players. You know, O.J. Simpson is still in the Hall of Fame in Canton, and he should be, because he's one of the great running backs that ever lived, in spite of, you know, what went down off the field. There's guys in the Hall of Fame that, you know, have done a lot of bad things. You know, I don't know what the deal is, and I know he's really reformed himself, but how about Ray Lewis? I mean, he's one of the great, maybe the greatest middle linebacker ever, but, you know, who knows what really happened that time in Atlanta? We don't know. Nobody really knows. He knows. He's in the Hall of Fame. He's the greatest Baltimore Raven of all time. I mean, we could go on and on. 888-808-1019, Rick in Daytona, Florida is on the Fan. Hi, Rick.
Hey, how you doing, Joe?
I'm good, Rick. What's up?
First thing I'm going to ask you is, and I was 9 years old,
in 1965.
Wow, okay.
I became a Met fan.
Okay, so you're a few years younger than me, but it's close.
Went to the Mets in 1965.
Right.
Roster-wise or coach-wise, do you remember?
Wasn't good. I know that. Wasn't good.
They got Yogi Berra as a coach.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Yogi actually played a couple. Had a few at bats with the Mets too, if I remember correctly.
My dad came to me and said, "Ricky, we're Met fans now. No more Yankee fans."
Really? Because Yogi was, and of course he eventually became the manager of the Mets as well, as we know.
Yeah, he loved Yogi. Otherwise, I'd be a Yankee fan today. Thank God for Yogi.
Yeah. Well, you would probably have been better off being a Yankee fan. You would have saw a lot more winning. I'll tell you that, right?
True, but I stay with the Mets. Never. I watch every game.
Yep,
I watch.
Yep. Me too. Obviously,
all the lost years. And as far as the Hall of Fame, I agree with you. If he didn't bet against his team, you know, let him in before he dies.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, but I don't think they will. I really don't. Have you seen the HBO special? Did you see it?
No.
You got to see it. You really have to check it out. If Rick, and I appreciate the call, if you are a baseball fan, you need to see the Rose thing. You do. And I really believe that if you didn't see Pete Rose play, you're going to probably have a different feel for him than a guy like me who basically saw his whole career, right? As much as I couldn't stand him when he was playing, I hate him. He used to kill the Mets. The whole thing in the playoffs in 73, you know, when he ran into Bud Harrelson in the playoffs and, you know, they were throwing bottles at him out in left field and, you know, all of that. And Yogi had to come out. Yogi, Cleon, and Siva had to go out to left field at Shea Stadium to calm the fans down or they were going to forfeit the game, right? So I had my issues with Rose, but there's no denying the greatness of Pete Rose. I mean, let's be honest, you can make the case. The Big Red Machine, which to me, the Big Red Machine and the Yankees from 98 to 2000, 2001 are the two greatest teams in my lifetime, okay? I could make a case, too, for the Yankees when I was growing up from 60 to 65, or 60 to 64, that won five pennants in a row. They only won two championships, but they won five straight pennants. You know, you can make a case for that team, too, right? You know, the Oakland A's that won three in a row from 72 to 74. But to me, the one that sticks out the most is the Big Red Machine. And they were loaded with greatness. Joe Morgan, Tony Perez, Johnny Bench, you know, Griffey Sr. Go right on down the line with all the great players on this team. Dave Concepcion, who probably should be in the Hall of Fame, too. But you could make an argument that the best player on that team was Pete Rose. You know, he was the MVP of the 75 World Series. You know, people forget that. You know, you think of the 75 World Series against the Red Sox, everybody thinks of Carlton Fisk in the home run in Game 6, right? They won the game. But the Reds won the World Series. And the MVP of that World Series was Pete Rose. So, I'm sorry. I will go to my death that Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame. Not even debatable. Am I doing a read here? I am, right? Because Dove's giving me the timeout. You really are. Don't you do such a tremendous... Whatever they pay you, it's not enough. I know you agree, but...
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
21 of the last 22 times they scored. Here's Sims to throw in third down. Up the middle, touchdown, Bavaro. Mark Bavaro goes to one knee. Genuflex in prayer. As a 13-yard throw over the middle answers the prayer for the Giants fans.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
The great David Ruffin, The Temptations, Ain't Too Proud to Beg. Tremendous. You're doing a great job. You really are. But Ingo, filling in. It's a Thursday. It's crummy out. What a perfect week for me to be doing this, you know? I got to tell you. Now, Monday and Tuesday are actually pretty good, and I got to go to the pool. But the last couple days, I mean, yesterday was just terrible. Today's terrible. Tomorrow's supposed to be terrible. And thank God, now I'm not working Saturday, and it's going to be beautiful. And you know where I'll be. Sunday as well, may I add. Anyway, so it worked out good. You know, Dover, it worked out good weather-wise for me. You know what I mean? It did.
God's on your side.
Let's say this about God. Let's hope God's on more than my side. 888-808-1019. You know the deal. Beningo filling in for BT And Sal, Ramon in Flushing is on the fan. Ramon, how are you?
Hey, Joe, what do you know?
What's up, Ramon? What's shaking, man?
You were talking music yesterday, and you had my mind doing flashbacks, and I wanted to answer some of the things that you said. I just wanted to share music with you.
Please, go ahead, man. I'm into it.
I actually met you once. I met you with Doris's Wake, God rest her soul.
Oh, God, that's like 20 years ago now, yeah? Okay.
Yeah, I gave you and your wife a ride, and Bruce from Flushing a ride.
Is that right? Did you? Okay, sounds good.
Yeah, you were in my car.
Thank you.
Anyway, but you talked about first concerts. My first concert, I saw Kiss at the Garden in 1977.
Kiss at the Garden in 1977, okay.
When they were the hottest band
right.
in the world.
Yep, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I do.
And then you talked about one-hit wonders. There's 1,000 one-hit wonders.
1,000.
You know?
Yep.
And the thing is also, there's a difference between a one-hit wonder and people could only name one hit. You know?
Oh, yeah. No, there's people that think that there's one-hit wonders to a certain group, and they got more than one. You know what I mean? I've had a couple people mention that to me.
My perfect example is like Devo. If you mention Devo to somebody, they're going to say Whip It.
Devo.
But Devo was more than...
Didn't they do a cover of Satisfaction, too, Devo, if I'm not mistaken?
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, listen, I got several Devo albums. They were the great bands of the 80s, all right? But that's an example. But my number one one-hit wonder that I still enjoy listening to is Tommy Two Tone Jenny 867.
Oh, that's a good it's a good song. Yeah, yeah, it is.
Isn't that a good one?
Yeah, it is good.
Right?
Is that the only one by Tommy Two Tone? That's the only one. Are we sure about that?
That's the only one I can think of. Yeah. I can't name any other songs.
No, I can't either. But I'm just wondering. Yeah, that is a good 867-5309. Right, 867-5309. Right.
They had to take that number off the thing because everybody was dialing.
I could see that too. You know, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised.
And the number one song, "The Day I Was Born," which is May 13, 1970, was "American Woman" by the Guess Who.
By the Guess Who, the great Guess Who. Yeah. Hey, look, I mean, Guess Who had a lot of great songs. There's no doubt. What's called does it, too? Doesn't Lenny Kravitz do a American Woman remake?
He had a big hit with it later.
Yeah.
And I'm a big Backman Turner Overdrive guy.
Yeah, BTO.
Know?
Well, BTO was...
Randy Backman was
in the Guess Who with Burton Cummings. Burton Cummings was the lead singer of the Guess Who.
Yeah.
And Randy Bachman was with the Guess Who before he went to BTO.
Exactly. And "Roll On Down the Highway" is one of the great rock and roll songs.
And, of course, "Taking Care of Business."
I don't care what you say.
"Taking Care of Business" is an all-timer, too. That's a great song.
Oh, that's an all-timer. Yeah. Oh, they're great.
"Let It Ride," another great song by BTO. "Let It Ride," that's a good song. "Let It Ride."
Yeah. Oh, of course.
Yep.
Like I said, they got several of them.
Yep.
Listen, I'll tell you a quick story, and you're going to love this. And this is right up your alley.
Go ahead.
I used to work, when I was 20 years old, I was an apprentice in electrical. Anyway, I was working at the airport.
Right.
And I'm standing on a line to get breakfast. And in front of me, I see this guy with a hard rock cafe leather jacket and a signature hat. And I'm saying to myself, it was Bo Diddley.
Bo Diddley, huh? Wow.
You know?
Wow. And he must have, saw him, he must have been up there at that point, right? When you were working there?
Oh,
he had to be up there.
Listen, I had just saw him. I knew he was in town.
Right.
So that's why I figured it had to be him. But I didn't see his face. You know, I'm standing behind him. But I'm directly behind him. And I went right behind his ear. And I called him. I said, "Ellis McDaniel?"
Is that his real name? I didn't know that. That's Bo Diddley's real name? Ellis McDaniel? I did not know that.
Ellis McDaniel.
Right.
And he turned around and he looked at me. And I was just like, it was like meeting Elvis.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right, sure.
And he was real nice, man. He bought me breakfast.
Come on, really?
And I sat with him. I don't even think I ate my breakfast.
Yeah, you were just too in awe that he was actually, you were actually chatting, you know, hanging out with him, right?
Yeah. And he told me his whole story. You know that box guitar that he played?
Yes. Yep.
He made that when he was 12 years old.
Really? Wow.
And he told me the whole story about it because he couldn't afford a guitar. I'm like, you're telling me that you made this guitar when you were 12 and you basically invented rock and roll?
Yeah.
Right?
He was up there. He's one of those guys. Yeah, no doubt.
Chuck Berry.
Chuck Berry. Chuck Berry to me is the guy that I think of most. If you want to give me a guy that invented rock and roll,
Bo Diddley's up there.
He is, but I got to go with Chuck first. You don't agree with that?
No, no, I'm a Big Chuck Berry
fan. Right,
don't get me wrong.
Right.
And the Beast Boys owe him a lot of money.
Oh, wow. And Chuck was always ticked off, man. You go, you know, remember that the line? What did he say? Either those white boys ripped me off or whatever he said. Something like that,
I'll tell you one more great I met in the airport, your love. And she couldn't believe that I knew who she was.
Go ahead. Who's this?
I'm standing online in Nathan's, and I see Mary from Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Oh, really? Mary Travers, I think, was her name. Mary Travers.
Yeah.
Right.
And I went up to her. I said, are you Mary from Peter, Paul, and Mary? And she was taken back, you know, because I'm a young Puerto Rican kid, you know what I mean?
Right.
How does she think how I know who she is? And she said, you know who I am? And I said, are you Mary from Peter, Paul, and Mary?
Right.
And she said, yes, I am, dear. I said, yeah, I know who you are. You know, and I named all the folk bands from the 60s.
Sure.
You know?
And
sure. I named her things, you know, If I Had a Hammer, you know, all that.
Leaving on a jet plane, right?
Yeah, and she bought me lunch at Nathan's.
Boy, everybody, and, you know, I tell you, man, you got all these musical people buying you breakfast and buying you lunch.
She came back to the airport a month later. I was on a ladder.
Right.
And I'm about to come down, about to go to lunch, and I hear somebody yelling my name, Ramon, and I look, and it was Mary. She remembered my name.
Wow. Let me ask you this question.
She bought me lunch again.
So Bo Diddley bought you breakfast. Mary Travers bought you lunch a couple times. Did Mick Jagger buy you dinner?
No.
Oh, man. That's pretty good.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy, man. That is crazy.
But I'm the musical knowledge guy the way you are on your station.
Yeah. Well, that's good, man. Let me tell you.
I've had guys make $500 bets without my knowledge.
Right.
Going on my answer on a music trivia question.
Yeah, okay.
And it didn't matter whether I was right or wrong.
How old are you, Ramon? How old are you?
I'm 54.
54. So you're a lot younger than me. I got about 16 years on you. So you started really getting into music what year? Give me the year.
74.
Okay. Yeah.
I started about
64 for me.
All right. My first music love was Frankie Valli.
I love Frankie Valli. Oh, tremendous. The Seasons, phenomenal.
And then I have the Beatles. I have a Beatles tattoo.
Do you really? You know? Wow.
Yeah. In fact, I have four tattoos. I got the Beatles.
Right.
And I have the three J's. Can you name the three J's?
This is musically the three J's?
Yeah. The three J's.
Hmm.
I'll give you a hint. They all died at 27.
Oh, okay. Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, and Jim Morrison.
Yeah. There you go. Those are the three.
Yeah.
I got them tattooed on my leg.
Yeah, you gave me a pretty good hint there with they all died at 27 years old. So,
yeah.
There you go. Hey, Ramon, you know what? We could talk music forever. All forever. We really could. We really could.
I'll call you again. And listen, I used to listen to you late night. I was one of your regular, you know, overnight guys when you were doing the overnight.
Those were the days, Ramon. Those were the days. They really were.
Those were the days, man.
Yep.
And Doris was a great caller, was she not?
Yeah, she was tremendous. We miss them all. Doris, Short Al, Bruce and Flushing. Bruce is still around. Bruce and Flushing still with us. Bruce and Bayside is not. And he was one of the callers all the time as well. So.
Yeah, but that was the family.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a nighttime family, and I remember those days. So God bless you, Joe.
Ramon, thank you so much. I appreciate that. You got some interesting stuff there. There's no doubt about it. That's pretty good. Yeah, the three J's, Jimmy, Janice, and Jim. No doubt about it. Pretty good. 888-808-1019. Ryan in Hazlitt is on the fan. Ryan, how are you?
Hey, Joe. How are you doing?
I'm good, bro. What's shaking?
I also been listening to you for the overnight. My mother actually got a small personal radio over from Bradley's over there in Ramsey.
Is that right? Is that right? In Ramsey? That's what right next to me in Mahwa, Ramsey. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. If you actually hit a driver off of Carlo Road, you're one street away from me.
Right. Oh, that's interesting. But you say you live in Hazlitt now, right?
Yeah. We moved down the shore, you know. I remember you from the old Umberto's days.
Yeah.
Greg, you know.
Yep. Yeah. Those were the days.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to talk about, like, you know, you were talking about the steroid era and everybody else who is out of the Hall of Fame. one of the things about the shoeless Joe Jackson, he batted over 400 at that during that World Series. Right.
Yeah, it's up in the air whether or not Joe Jackson really took the money or not. You know, we don't really know, you know?
Oh, you never know back in those days. And then also, when you talk about the steroid era, I played minor league ball and independent ball for about 6-7 years. And you know what? Out of everybody who's played in the major leagues, you know, there's probably over 1,000 guys who ended up, like, taking steroids who never made it.
Yeah. No, I believe you that. Know? I believe that.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
100%.
Yeah.
You know, onto the Mets and the Yankees, you know, with the whole Alonso thing, you know, like, when you talk about, like, contracts, stuff like this, one of the biggest things that I feel like is that how's he going to perform in the playoffs? If he ends up, like, blasting it in the playoffs, you know, like, he earns his value because those are the games
the first thing they got to do is get there. You know, the Mets have to get to the playoffs before Pete's going to do anything in it. So, let's get there.
They're gonna get there. I feel like they have the conglomerate to be able to make it there. And, you know, like, when everybody talks about the whole Yankee situation, about, like, how they went through the slide and now they're back a little bit again, injuries, you know, really hurt them at that one point of the year. Because once Giancarlo came down, Dominguez was, like, putting up, like, literally, like, like, astronomical numbers.
And he got hurt.
Life.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he got hurt, which would be a
The Stanton injury, and I got to run because Dove, you know, when Dove says we got to go, there's, you know, you got to go. I mean, that's it. You know, there's no gray area here. The Stanton injury, you could really kind of trace that to the Yankees going into that tailspin. So, anyway, he's back now, so we'll see what happens. All right, 888-808-1019, Beningo filling in. For the midday guys, Sal Licata and BT. We'll have the update with Dexter coming up, and we got an hour to go, and then it's a Lou Gower and McMonagle at 2. Dove, you do such a tremendous. Whatever they pay you, it's not enough. I know you agree. But
when this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
21 of the last 22 times they scored. Here's Sims to throw in third down. Up the middle, touchdown, Bavaro. Mark Bavaro goes to one knee. Genuflex in prayer as a 13-yard throw over the middle answers the prayer for the Giants fans.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
The great David Ruffin, The Temptations, Ain't Too Proud to Beg. Tremendous. You're doing a great job. You really are. Beningo, filling in. It's a Thursday. It's crummy out. What a perfect week for me to be doing this, you know? I got to tell you. Now, Monday and Tuesday are actually pretty good, and I got to go to the pool. But the last couple days, yesterday was just terrible. Today's terrible. Tomorrow's supposed to be terrible. And thank God, now I'm not working Saturday, and it's going to be beautiful. And you know where I'll be. You know where I'll be. Sunday as well, may I add. Anyway, so it worked out good. You know, Dover, it worked out good weather-wise for me. You know what I mean? It did.
God's on your side.
Well, let's
except
hope
for the Jets.
Let's say this about God. Let's hope God's on more than my side. 888-808-1019. You know the deal. Beningo filling in for BT. And Sal, Ramon in Flushing is on The Fan. Ramon, how are you?
Hey, Joe, what do you know?
What's up, Ramon? What's shaking, man?
You were talking music yesterday, and you had my mind doing flashbacks, and I wanted to answer some of the things that you said. I just wanted to share music with you.
Please, go ahead, man.
I actually met you once. I met you with Doris's Wake, God rest her soul.
Oh, God, that's like 20 years ago now, yeah? Okay.
Yeah, I gave you and your wife a ride, and Bruce from Flushing a ride.
Is that right? Did you? Okay, sounds good.
Yeah. You were in my car.
Anyway, you
talked about first concerts. My first concert, I saw Kiss at the Garden in 1977.
Kiss at the Garden in 1977, okay.
When they were the hottest band in the world.
Yep, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I do.
And then you talked about one-hit wonders. There's 1,000 one-hit wonders.
1,000.
You know?
Yep.
And the thing is also, there's a difference between a one-hit wonder and people could only name one hit. You know?
Oh, yeah. No, no. There's people that think that there's one-hit wonders to a certain group, and they got more than one. You know what I mean? I've had a couple people mention that to me.
My perfect example is like Devo. If you mention Devo to somebody, they're going to say Whip It.
Devo.
But Devo was more than...
Didn't Devo do? Didn't they do a cover of Satisfaction too, Devo? If I'm not mistaken, right?
Oh yeah,
right.
Yeah, listen, I got several Devo albums. They were the great bands of the '80s. All right, but that's an example. But my number one one-hit wonder that I still enjoy listening to is Tommy Two Tone Jenny 867.
Oh, that's a good it's a good song. Yep, yeah, it is.
Isn't that a good one?
Yeah, it is good.
Right?
Is that the only one by Tommy Two Tone? That's the only one. Are we sure about that?
That's the only one I can think of. Yeah. I can't name any other songs.
No, I can't either, but I'm just wondering. Yeah, that is a good 867-5309, right? 867-5309, right?
They had to take that number off the thing because everybody was dialing.
I could see that too. You know, I'm not surprised.
And the number one song, The Day I Was Born, which is May 13, 1970. Was American Woman by the Guess Who.
By the Guess Who, the great Guess Who. Yeah. Hey, look, I mean, Guess Who had a lot of great songs. There's no doubt. What's called does it, too? Doesn't Lenny Kravitz do a American Woman remake?
He had a big hit with it later.
Yeah.
And I'm a big Backman Turner Overdrive guy.
Yeah, BTO. Know? Well, BTO was...
Randy Backman was
in the Guess Who. With Burton Cummings. Burton Cummings was the lead singer of the Guess Who.
Yeah.
And Randy Bachman was with the Guess Who before he went to BTO.
Exactly. And Roll On Down the Highway is one of the great rock and roll songs.
And, of course, Taking Care of Business.
I don't care what you say.
Taking Care of Business is an all-timer, too. That's a great song.
Oh, that's an all-timer. Yeah. Oh, they're great.
Let It Ride. Another great song by BTO. Let It Ride. That's a good song. Let It Ride.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
Yep.
Like I said, they got several of
them. Yep.
Listen, I'll tell you a quick story, and you're going to love this. And this is right up your alley.
Go ahead.
I used to work, when I was 20 years old, I was an apprentice in an electrical unit. Anyway, I was working at the airport.
Right.
And I'm standing on a line to get breakfast. And in front of me, I see this guy with a hard rock cafe leather jacket and a signature hat. And I'm saying to myself, it was Bo Diddley.
Bo Diddley, huh? Wow.
You know?
Wow.
And
he
I
must
walked,
have, when you I saw walked, him, he must have been up there at that point, right? When you were working there?
Oh,
he had to be up there.
Listen, I had just saw him. I knew he was in town.
Right,
so that's why I figured it had to be him. But I didn't see his face. You know, I'm standing behind him. But I'm directly behind him. And I went right behind his ear. And I called him. I said, Ellis McDaniel?
Is that his real name? And I didn't know that. That's Bo Diddley's real name? Ellis McDaniel? I did not know
Ellis
that.
Ellis McDaniel.
Right.
And he turned around and he looked at me. And I was just like, it was like meeting Elvis.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right, sure.
And he was real nice, man. He bought me breakfast.
Come on, really?
And I sat with him. I don't even think I ate my breakfast.
Yeah,
I think
you were just too, you were too in awe drop. That he was actually, you were actually chatting, you know, hanging out with him, right?
Yeah. And he told me his whole story. You know that box guitar that he played?
Yes. Yep.
He made that when he was 12 years old.
Really? Wow.
And he told me the whole story about it because he couldn't afford a guitar. I'm like, you're telling me that you made this guitar when you were 12 and you basically invented rock and roll?
Yeah.
Right?
He was up there. He's one of those guys. Yeah, no doubt. Chuck Berry.
Rock and roll.
Chuck Berry. Chuck Berry to me is the guy that I think of most. If you want to give me a guy that invented rock and roll, he is. But I got to go with Chuck first. You don't agree with that?
No, I'm a big Chuck Berry fan.
Right,
don't get me wrong.
Right.
And the Beast Boys owe him a lot of money.
Oh, wow. And Chuck was always ticked off, man. You go, you know, remember that the line? What did he say? Either those white boys ripped me off or whatever he said. Something like that, right?
I'll tell you one more great I met in the airport, your love. And she couldn't believe that I knew who she was.
Go ahead. Who's this?
I'm standing online in Nathan's. And I see Mary from Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Oh, really? Mary Travers, I think, was her name. Mary Travers.
Yeah.
Right.
And I went up to her. I said, are you Mary from Peter, Paul, and Mary? And she was taken back, you know, because I'm a young Puerto Rican kid, you know what I mean?
Right.
How does she think how I know who she is? And she said, you know who I am? And I said, are you Mary from Peter, Paul, and Mary?
Right.
And she said, yes, I am, dear. I said, yeah, I know you are. You know, and I named all the folk bands from the 60s.
Sure.
You know? And
sure.
I named her things, you know, If I Had a Hammer, you know, all that.
Leaving on a jet plane, right?
Yeah, and she bought me lunch at Nathan's.
Boy, everybody, and, you know, I tell you, man, you got all these musical people buying you breakfast and buying you lunch.
She came back to the airport a month later. I was on a ladder.
Right.
And I'm about to come down, about to go to lunch, and I hear somebody yelling my name, Ramon, and I look, and it was Mary. She remembered my name.
Wow. Let me ask you this question.
She bought me lunch again.
So Bo Diddley bought you breakfast. Mary Travis bought you lunch a couple times. Did Mick Jagger buy you dinner?
No.
Oh, man. That's pretty good.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy, man. That is crazy.
But I'm the musical knowledge guy the way you are on your station.
Yeah. Well, that's good, man. Let me tell you.
I've had guys make $500 bets without my knowledge.
Right.
Going on my answer on a music trivia question.
Yeah. Okay.
And it didn't matter whether I was right or wrong.
How old are you, Ramon? How old are you?
I'm 54.
54. So you're a lot younger than me. I got about 16 years on you. So you started really getting into music what year? Give me the year.
74.
Okay. Yeah.
I've had a musical.
I got like 10 years because I started I started in about 64 for me.
My first music love was Frankie Valli.
I love Frankie Valli. Oh, tremendous. The Seasons, phenomenal.
And then I have the Beatles. I have a Beatles tattoo.
Do you really? Wow.
Yeah. In fact, I have four tattoos. I got the Beatles.
Right.
And I have the three J's. Can you name the three J's?
This is musically the three J's?
Yeah. The three J's.
Hmm.
I'll give you a hint. They all died at 27.
Oh, okay. Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, and Jim Morrison.
Yeah. There you go. Those are the three.
Yeah.
I got them tattooed on my leg.
Yeah, you gave me a pretty good hint there with they all died at 27 years old. So,
yeah.
There you go. Hey, Ramon, you know what? We could talk music forever. All forever. We really could. We really could.
I'll call you again. And listen, I used to listen to you late night. I was one of your regular, overnight guys when you were doing the overnight.
Those were the days, Ramon. Those were the days. They really were.
Those were the days, man.
Yep.
And Doris was a great caller, was she not?
Yeah, she was tremendous. We miss them all. Doris, Short Al,
Bruce
and Flushing.
Yeah,
Bruce is still around. Bruce and Flushing is still with us. Bruce and Bayside is not. And he was one of the callers all the time as well. So
yeah, but that was the family.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a nighttime family, and I remember those days. So God bless you, Joe.
Ramon, thank you so much. I appreciate that. You got some interesting stuff there. There's no doubt about it. That's pretty good. Yeah, the three J's, Jimmy, Janis, and Jim. No doubt about it. Pretty good. 888-808-1019. Ryan in Hazlitt is on the fan. Ryan, how are you?
Hey, Joe. How are you doing?
I'm good, bro. What's shaking?
I also been listening to you for the overnight. My mother actually got a small personal radio over from Bradley's over there in Ramsey.
Is that right? Is that right? In Ramsey? That's what right next to me in Mahwa, Ramsey, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. If you actually hit a driver off of Carlo Road, you're one street away from me.
Right. Oh, that's interesting. But you say you live in Hazlitt now, right?
Yeah. We moved down the shore, I remember you from the old Umberto's days.
Yeah.
Greg,
those were the days.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to talk about, you were talking about the steroid era and everybody else who is out of the Hall of Fame. One of the things about the shoeless Joe Jackson, he batted over 400 at that during that World Series.
Right. Yeah, it's up in the air whether or not Joe Jackson really took the money or not. We don't really know,
Oh, you never know back in those days. And then also, when you talk about the steroid era, I played minor league ball and independent ball for about 6-7 years. And you know what? Out of everybody who's played in the major leagues, there's probably over 1,000 guys who ended up taking steroids who never made it.
Yeah, no, I believe I believe that.
Oh, yeah,
of course,
100%.
Yeah,
you know, onto the Mets and the Yankees. The whole Alonso thing. When you talk about contracts, stuff like this, one of the biggest things that I feel like is that how's he going to perform in the playoffs? If he ends up blasting it in the playoffs, he earns his value because those are the games.
Well,
that
the first
really
thing they
got
to do—the first thing they got to do—is get there. The Mets got to get to the playoffs before Pete's going to do anything in it. So let's get there.
I actually, Yeah, they're gonna get there. I feel like they have the conglomerate to be able to make it there. And, you know, like, when everybody talks about the whole Yankee situation, about, like, how they went through the slide and now they're back a little bit again,
mm-hmm.
injuries, you know, really hurt them at that one point of the year, because once Giancarlo came down, Dominguez was, like, putting up, like, literally, like, mm-hmm. like astronomical numbers.
And he got hurt.
Life.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he got hurt, which would be a
the Stanton injury, and yeah. I got to run because Dove, you know, when Dove says we got to go, there's, you know, you got to go. I mean, that's it. You know, there's no gray area here. The Stanton injury, you could really kind of trace that to the Yankees going into that tailspin. So, anyway, he's back now, so we'll see what happens. All right, 888-808-1019, Beningo filling in. For the midday guys, Sal Licata and BT. We'll have the update with Dexter coming up, and we got an hour to go, and then it's a Lou Gower and McMonagle at 2:00.